So can you tell me the basic storyline of The Master?
It portrays a mid-century man who is leading kind of a movement of a sort of a spiritual movement, and he brings on a troubled veteran, World War II veteran, who is a drunk and running from his past. And the master, the man leading the movement, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, does his best to try to reform this troubled man, played by Joaquin Phoenix. So it's really a character study of these two men as their relationship develops. It's really fascinating.
It takes place, what, in the 50s, early 60s?
They repeatedly say 1950. So I think it's supposed to take place over several months in the year 1950.
Now, you have been following Scientology for a number of years, writing about it for The Village Voice. How much do you think that the writer and the director of The Master, Paul Thomas Anderson, was influenced by Scientology, by L. Ron Hubbard?
Well, there's just no question that he researched Scientology to an incredible degree and then sat down and wrote a script which is just thoroughly infused with Scientology. We interviewed him a few weeks ago, and it was obvious from the script how much he had done research. But then to our interviewer, he talked about how he had gotten down to 1950s newsletters put out by Scientologists. That's the research he did was so painstaking. I was really surprised. But if you read the script, you can see it in there. It's just there's so much in there that's about Scientology, but also specific Scientology history. Now, not everything in that script made it into the movie on the screen, but there's still just Scientology nearly from beginning to end in this film.
So give me an example. Are there noted parallels between the two?
Well, there's parallels on several different levels. On the one level, there it's kind of a biographical movie about L. Ron Hubbard. And Hubbard is the analog of him in the movie is a man named Lancaster Dodd, who's played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. Hubbard was married. His third wife was named Mary Sue, and she was a very steely, you know, companion who helped him run the organization. That's exactly the way Amy Adams plays Peggy Dodd in the film. Hubbard's oldest son, L. Ron Hubbard Jr., was in the movement. Then he was out of the movement. He kind of betrayed his dad at times. That's exactly how Dodd's oldest son, Val, is played by Jesse Plemons. So there's that parallel on one level where it's just sort of a biographical sketch. But then the activities in the film, the way that Dodd's movement called The Cause is actually expressed, is very similar to the way Scientology works, the way that you're supposed to go back into your past lives even, to find traumatic incidents and then handle those memories so that your life today can be better. I mean, it's just uncanny the way these processes are reflected on the screen.
Now, again, you've studied Scientology. You know quite a lot about it. You've written a lot about it. Are there ways that The Master is different from Scientology?
It's different in merely, for the most part, in really cosmetic ways. Anderson has just taken the names and changed them. He's changed the dates. He's telescoped events. He's created composite characters. But the correlations are just so similar. So while you're going through auditing in Scientology, you're going through processing in The Cause. While you're asked to not blink during auditing, and if you do, they yell flunk. In the film, if you blink during processing, they yell infringement. I mean, it's that one-to-one. It's really remarkable. So I know that there was some noise made by some of the filmmakers that, oh, this could be about any New Age movement of the mid-century. But I got to tell you, those of us who really know Scientology don't buy that for a minute. I mean, Anderson very consciously set out to write a film about Hubbard and the early movement. And
has he said that? I mean, you talked to him.
He has said that
it's about Scientology.
Absolutely. Yeah, he told our interviewer that. He told a panel that in Venice. He has been more open about that. The actors are still saying it's not about Scientology. And I think that they're doing that merely because they don't want to get the kind of harassment that was experienced by, say, Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park because of what they ran into 6 or 7 years ago.
Scientology does have a history of coming after people who they think abuse their rights.
Yeah, you know, in 2005, Parker and Stone created a really amazing episode of South Park. That the first half of that episode is very loosely playing around with Scientology, but then it gets serious, and it really does show the most secret upper-level teachings of Scientology that they try to keep under wraps about these space aliens coming to Earth 75 million years ago. And there didn't seem to be much of a result of that. But then just last year, some documents surfaced showing that Scientology did at least plan a concerted effort to investigate Parker and Stone, investigate their friends, go through their trash, try to get a mole into their office. These were documents that were leaked by high-level Scientology officials who had left at that point. So I think, you know, when you see Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Adams going around saying this isn't about Scientology, I think they just don't want to incur the wrath of an organization with such a reputation for retaliation.
Of course, the film is getting a lot of great reviews. It's being taken very seriously. And they, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Adams and Joaquin Phoenix, for that matter, are all being touted as examples of the great skill that our current acting community doesn't always show. What do you think of the film itself? Is it a good film? Is it a great film?
The critics love it. It was a little bit hard for me to evaluate as simply as a movie-going experience because I was so madly taking notes in the dark about all the Scientology in the film. I'm a big fan of Stanley Kubrick, and the Kubrickian moments in this film really hit me over the head. I thought they were great. I'm hearing other people saying that, you know, it's an arty film. It's, you know, too slow and too long, and Joaquin Phoenix is a little over the top. I think it's going to be one of those great movies where people have a lot of different opinions about it, and a lot of people are going to go see it, and it's going to have a big influence, like Anderson's other films. I think it's – if you're a fan of Anderson, you will recognize a lot of the same tropes in this film as you've seen in There Will Be Blood and Magnolia, that kind of thing.
Well, I guess that answers my next question in a way, but I'll ask it anyway. Why does it matter if the master is or isn't based on Scientology?
Well, I think purely from a filmmaking point of view, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson has created another movie that will be talked about, and he just happened to choose Scientology as its background. But I think in other ways it is very important because Hollywood has had an interesting relationship with Scientology for many years. And while we're familiar with a lot of their celebrities, there are other people that are not happy with Scientology's presence in Hollywood. And there have been attempts before this to portray Scientology in film and television. And producers have had a very hard time getting that done. So I think this film is significant because it really is marking a shift in Hollywood where it is becoming increasingly more common for Scientology to be the subject of art and criticism.
So you're suggesting that the story that couldn't be told now can be told. This is more of a shift in Hollywood than a shift in the desire to tell stories about Scientology.
Well, and look how it had to be done. I mean, almost completely camouflaged. You know, I mean, it's to the day it was opened, the people involved were saying, no, it's not about Scientology. But, of course, it was. And now it's going to, you know, I think it's not only going to bring a lot more attention to the church, but it's coming at the worst possible time for Scientology. Scientology's just had the worst summer, part of a terrible year. It's splitting apart. It's got a lot of different crises going on. The Cruz Holmes divorce, of course, brought a whole new level of media attention. So
there's a big piece in Vanity Fair about
the Vanity Fair expose by Maureen Orth was really fascinating, and you know, a lot
just,
of what's
just
in
to
that
make
story
that clear that is a big thing about how involved Scientology was in Cruz's divorce from Katie Holmes.
Yeah, I had written earlier about how, you know, there's a lot of interesting things about Tom Cruise's career in Scientology. He had joined Scientology in the late 80s because of his first wife, Mimi Rogers. But then with his second wife, Nicole Kidman, he'd kind of gotten away from Scientology for quite a number of years, which they kept quiet at the time. And when that marriage broke up in 2001, Scientology were very careful to get Tom back in. And they not only worked hard to make him a gung-ho Scientologist again, which they were very successful at, but after his relationship with Penelope Cruz broke up, various Scientology ex-officials say that they also wanted to make sure he got, a companion this time who was more with the program with Scientology. And so they literally brought down Scientologist actresses to audition and were told only once they were there that they were, or they weren't even told. They were asked, what do you think of Tom Cruise? And they were trying to find him a girlfriend. And that the result of that was this woman, Nazanin Boniadi, who became Tom Cruise's girlfriend at the end of 2004. And then, allegedly he kind of cast her aside without even breaking up in person. And then right after that is when he met Katie Holmes and they started dating. Mm-hmm. So, it's embarrassing for Tom because, people around the country are asking, why can't this guy find his own girlfriend? It's embarrassing for the church because, it's just kind of a strange way of going about things. But there's a lot more to her story. A lot of it is stuff that we've reported about the way executives are treated in the church, the way Sea Org members are treated in the church. It's like I said, there's a lot of things happening for Scientology right now that are becoming a big problem. And this film, it just couldn't come at a worse time.
Yeah. So how far back does the crisis go? It's not just Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. There's more to it.
Scientology has always had a tough time with the press. It's, you can do a timeline. I mean, the FBI raid in 1977 was a terrible time for Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard Jr.'s lawsuit in 82 was also disastrous. There was a death in 1995 that caused them years of lawsuits. But really, the current crisis can be dated to 2009, when a lot of high-level executives had left the church and all decided to go public all at the same time in a devastating expose in the Tampa Bay Times called The Truth Rundown. And ever in the 3 years since, these high-level executives have continued to bring attention to Scientology's problems involving the way children are treated in the church and involving young women who are now suing the church over saying that they had been forced to have abortions. It's just a litany of really just unseemly behavior that's become that more and more news organizations now are taking seriously. And that's part of why it's so difficult for the church right now is that for many years, newspapers and magazines didn't want to have anything to do with them. They had sued Time Magazine in 1990 and Washington Post in 1995. But increasingly, more and more news organizations are taking on this subject.
With that history, though, of the church's willingness to take on the news media, what's happening now? How has the Church of Scientology reacted to the master?
There have been some stories saying that Scientology is campaigning against the film, but I don't see it. I think that in this case, the church seems to be playing it smart and not trying to stop the film. I'd be shocked if they did any kind of legal maneuver against the Harvey Weinstein or Paul Thomas Anderson. There's been reports that Harvey's been getting some strange calls, but I would expect somebody like Harvey Weinstein to get strange calls just about all the time. I think in this case that they're so far just trying to ignore the film.
I thought, though, that I'd read about some protests in New York City.
No, I hadn't heard about any. I don't think there have been. Scientology has been more concerned about things that are happening with their drug treatment centers. There's one in Oklahoma that's a subject of investigations because of deaths there. Like I said, I just don't see them making a big effort against this film yet.
Of course, it's not a bad thing for you that this is coming out. You just left your job as editor-in-chief of the Village Voice. You're going to pursue a book about Scientology?
Yeah, there's several different areas that I've really been able to mine over the last couple of years that have yielded such amazing material. I really feel like this is a good time for me to explore that option. So I'm talking to one subject in particular about telling their story in a book and in a movie treatment. So I don't know. I just think it's time for me to try something new, and it just seems like Boy, this subject is really popular right now.
Of course, there have been a couple of books about Scientology released recently, and you believe you've got something new that will...
I'm very familiar with those books. They're very good. I know the writers. They're excellent. You know, it's with any kind of book project, you've got to make sure that you have something other people don't have and that the public will care about. And I think I've got that.
Why are you interested in this? I mean, how did it come across your desk in the first place?
You know, 17 years ago, I was a new writer for the Phoenix New Times, and I really just stumbled into it. I noticed a letter to the editor in the local daily paper. A man named Rick Ross was complaining that his lawsuit had not been covered correctly by that newspaper and that the Scientology component of it was ignored, and that got my interest. And so I contacted him and stumbled onto a really amazing story about lawsuits and the cult awareness network and deep programming. And I just thought it was fascinating. I'm just, you know, I'm the kind of an investigative reporter. I love getting to the bottom of a mystery. A few years later, I moved out to our Los Angeles paper. And, of course, that's one of the world headquarters of Scientology. So I just found even more stories there. And just over the years, I've maintained my sources and I've kept up my interest. And then this past year, it's just amazing what's been going on. I what really caught my attention last year was this bizarre siege going on down in South Texas. Marty Rathbun was once the second most powerful executive in the church. He left. He then started speaking up in a blog, and suddenly these church operatives showed up outside his, you know, Corpus Christi home and wouldn't leave. And they were there for 5 months filming his every move and trying to – pretending that they were a documentary film crew. It's so strange. Even talking about it, it sounds like it can't be true. And for months, I think just because of the – it took some time for the local press down there to catch on. I kind of had that story to myself up here in New York. And NBC finally just covered it a few weeks ago. I mean, it was a year ago. Yeah. But it just really caught my attention as that Scientology was going through some amazing changes, and I just wanted to be, you know, a reporter on the beat on it.
What's funny about it, in a way, is that L. Ron Hubbard was a big believer in public relations. That's the kind of thing you describe sounds as though it goes against everything he believed in. He was... What did he call it? A public relations officer is king?
Yeah, but he also, and it's a line that Amy Adams utters in the film, he also really believed that the only way to defend yourself is to attack. And he created some policies in the 50s and 60s that instructed his followers that if somebody criticizes us, they must be hiding crimes. So therefore, our job is to go out and find them and ruin that person. And I can't quote the exact policy off the top of my head, but it exists, and they still follow it to this day. So when Marty showed up and started criticizing the church on a blog, rather than either ignore it because it was just a blog or maybe try to put out some PR to counter it, their first instinct is, let's go attack the guy. And so they were literally on his porch day after day in his face. And it was really remarkable. A local videographer was hired for a week to work with them, and he later came out and said, "Yeah, they told us our job was to make Marty Rathbun's life a living hell. That was their purpose."
Wow! But you don't believe that kind of thing is going to happen with the master?
Like I said, at this point, I don't see any evidence of it. Now, it might be like with South Park, and it'll be some time before we hear what exactly happens.
Is it more likely if the master starts to get a lot of attention? I mean, if it's up for awards, for instance?
Well, I think it will be. I mean, it's already getting a lot of attention. It hasn't even opened wide yet. I think that's tomorrow. Friday, you know, the 21st in the rest of the country. And then it's all going to start up again for Oscar time, as you said, in February when people start talking about that. So this is going to be a real nightmare for the church going on for possibly years.
And a great boon to you.
Well, I have to say, I enjoyed the film. It was there are a few moments that you just feel that Anderson put in there for people like me that study this stuff. There's later in the film, there's a moment when Joaquin Phoenix's character Freddie is photographing Lancaster Dodd in a sort of a cowboy outfit sitting on a fence, and I got to tell you, it's just such a hilarious, you know, homage to a famous L. Ron Hubbard photo where he kind of dressed up in Western gear. And things like that, it felt like, you know, this filmmaker was really sort of giving us little Easter eggs here and there in the film.
You got your smiles.
I sure did.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet, Jim. My pleasure.
That was terrific. Thank you.